This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now, David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Oh, welcome in to the Cap and Jay Good Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Along with the fastest man in Northbrook, Jesse Rogers, in for Cap.
Send him down. Send Luis Robert down.
I'm Jonathan Hood. We've got Shay. We've got Jay Moore. We got you for a three-hour ride here on this Friday morning with open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for watching our show and all the shows here on ESPN Chicago. And Jess, here we go.
Here we go.
You got your shirt ready. You got your nice slacks. You got your Sunday shoes ready to go because for you, it's Matt Mervis Day.
Matt Mervis Day, which means Chris Russo is going to ask me a few questions on MLB Network. I can't imagine what he's going to ask me, Jay Hood.
Hey, Jesse Ryder, ESPN, your thoughts, Matt Mervis, young kid. What took so long? Give me a couple of minutes on the Mervis kid.
Today at 11 a.m. over at Wrigley, I'll be on.
Oh, my God.
That's a good imitation. I wanted to be on today just so I could hear you imitate Russo. It is Matt Mervis Day. Somewhere waking up in the north suburbs is Mark Silverman. Right. And I'm going to keep it clean, but he's very excited. Yes. He's very excited.
Yes. Right? This is going to be Anthony Rizzo's replacement.
Right? It's so good. We're going to have Mervis on. Right?
So it's a good day for a couple, because couple fans have been asking this for a long time.
Yeah, well, at least a year, because he's really burst on the scene lately. Mm-hmm. He was a nobody a couple years ago in baseball parlance. Jay Hoodie was... he was signed in 2020 during COVID after five rounds of the draft. Nobody picked him. Then it's a free-for-all. For $10,000, you could have anybody you wanted. The story goes Jed Hoyer's first call was to Matt Mervis. 2021 was nothing special. Then 22 last year, boom. He takes off, hits the third most home runs in all of the minor leagues, and he's the savior because the offense is dried up there.
Jesse, are you responsible for the Cubs depth chart on ESPN.com?
Oh, God, what does it say?
No, I'm just, it's just,
the
it's
answer
just
is no. Well, the answer is no.
I think you are, and it's all right if you lie to me. We've only known each other for 25 years, so it's okay if you lie to me. But the point is, though, is that the idea that it's Matt Mervis Day, right? He's already on the depth chart as the number one first baseman.
They just shot him ahead of Hosmer right there.
I mean,
and Mancini.
I'm looking at, like, Mervis, Hosmer, Mancini, Rios, Wisdom.
Well, you can cross Rios off. Mervis has taken Rios' place. But Hosmer, it'll be interesting. Hosmer, Mervis, and Mancini. Last time I checked, you can only use one first baseman at a time. They do have the DH, though. But there's definitely a Cub fan running the depth chart, no doubt. It's not me, but there's one.
I mean, he just got here. And the reason why that we bring this up this morning is because if you're a Cub fan or a Major League Baseball fan, you know that there's just been this real support from people that root for the team on Clark and Addison for Matt Mervis to be part of the Chicago Cubs because he's been tearing up in the minor leagues. And you just know that players like Hosmer and Mancini are just placeholders.
Yeah.
I mean, again, the reason why that they're on the ball club is because the Cubs, and I think Jed could tell you this too, are not necessarily ready to win it all or win the division just as of yet. Those are veterans. That's good for a young locker room. So I like the pickup in the offseason of a couple of these guys. However, we know that the future is Matt Mervis. And the hope is, if you're a Cubs fan, is that this guy can be a cornerstone for your team for a long, long time.
No doubt. And I think bringing him up now is probably earlier than they wanted to in some respect, meaning if Hosmer was hitting and the offense was clicking like it was last month, I'm not sure that he's up. So a conspiracy of events have happened here that have brought him up in early May instead of maybe early June. Having said that, he can't be the savior for 23. He's just a rookie and not even a highly touted one going back 18 months. So, like, don't put too much pressure on him. But what I like about the early call-up, Jay Hood, is when they are ready to win, which is next season and beyond, he will have gone through all the growing pains. The only pitching staff he won't face this year, if he's up the rest of the year, is the Dodgers. That's the only, I believe, season series they're done with. Unless Padres, Dodgers, might be both. Anyway, that's it. He'll see the league. That's good. Let him go through the growing pains now so he won't next year. So if he came up in July, that'd be a half a season of growing pains. This is 5 months, as long as he stays up and he gets playing time, which I assume he will. You don't bring him up not to play him.
Every fan believes that, hey, this is our year. You don't just waste a year. And this is not a tank year for the Cubs, but I think that it is actually good for Mervis, and he should play the majority of the games because this year is not the year.
Right.
Unless the Cubs play over their skis. And actually, the way the Cubs are playing right now, this is who they are. You know, I've been trying to tell Cap that for a while. Cap, after
the, he declared them a playoff team. No, you don't declare anything in April.
Oh no, no. After
I didn't even declare the White Sox dead in April. I know how these things go. And yes, look, they almost got back to six games out until they couldn't score in extra innings yesterday. So sorry to interrupt, but yes, they were a 78 win team according to Vegas. They might get past that, but they're not getting to 90, in my opinion.
No, but I think it's interesting because my partner believed that after the Cubs were able to win that series against Los Angeles, that, okay, here come the Cubs. And it's just like, have you seen the roster? The roster's good and not exactly where you want it to be yet. But again, he's just a wild fan, and he looks at it and says, this is the time. Okay, so the positives in this is that Mervis will be able to learn on the job. Any issues that he has, whether it's offensively or defensively, he'll have full autonomy to be able to learn. But in 2024, when the lights come on, it should be Mervis, it's wisdom, it's some of your cornerstone guys, and you should be ready to go. And also, that says a lot about Bellinger, too. If Bellinger continues to play this way, it makes me wonder, will he be a Cub in 24?
He won't be playing center field, in my opinion. Like, there's all sorts of scenarios, and I'm going to use his full name because you rightly said no nicknames until they come up. Pete Crow Armstrong is the next center fielder in waiting. Now, look, if Bellinger is back to MVP form, you have to explore keeping him. You could also move Bellinger to first, and if Mervis shows something at the majors, you could move Mervis. But I wouldn't just give up on Bellinger because he has a one-year deal. You have to explore it. But they love Pete Crow Armstrong. They love the glove. Bellinger, from what I'm told, can play great first base. So we assume Mervis is the first baseman of the future, but who knows? Who knows what happens with Bellinger as he returns to form? My guess is they're not going to be able to afford him. He's a Boris guy. If he has a big year, it's going to be a huge contract where Mervis is making the minimum. So I'm pretty certain he's going to move on, but at least you have things to explore. But and with Matt Mervis, it's Mash Mervis. But can we do that until he gets a first? You know, does he need a first to home run or something?
Yeah. How about 10 home runs?
Okay, and then call him Mash. Start mashing.
I mean, it's unbelievable. the obvious shirts print themselves for God's sake. They're before they can even put the spikes on. They got nicknames. They got Pete Crow Armstrong, PCA. We got Mash Mervis. Wait, just a second.
I grew up a Cub fan. Okay, I've been a reporter for a long time. But one thing about us Cub fans, we have backup quarterback syndrome.
Uh-huh.
The next guy up is going to be the guy. He's going to be the guy.
Why not
start with the nicknames early? Mash Mervis and PCA. PCA isn't so much a nickname. It's just shortening his name.
No, but do something first. Can you just do something for a second, for God's sakes?
Totally.
I got the cool Mervis shirt. Look at me. He hasn't played yet. Hang on a second. It could be Kevin Horry. We have no idea. Give him a chance.
All we can say is Mervis had a meteoric rise through the minor leagues last season.
Listen to the journalist.
Meteoric rise. That, I can't say it, but I can write it.
Exactly.
Meteoric rise through the minors last season. Which I'll give you some stats later on about him, why he's here now.
No, I don't
just,
want
just,
him.
Just to tell people what he's all about.
Okay, well
that's my job.
Here's my thought on this, Jesse. When it comes to the baseball season, especially over the last 10 years, I've always felt, man, just give me something interesting to get into Bears camp. Just keep me interested. March, April, May, June, July. Keep me invested right into Bears camp.
If you don't have a team that's going to win it all.
Yeah, just like
keep me invested.
For the Cubs and Sox, just give me something that I could be able to sink my teeth into until we get to the Bears camp. And so the way things are going right now, this is the biggest story now because young Mervis is with the Cubs. The Sox being able to beat the Twins, thank goodness, 2 out of 3.
At least.
To win the series. Now, are they going anywhere anytime soon? No. But the point is, though, is that at least they beat my arch rival, the Twins. So that's a step in the right direction. But the thing is, though, is that when we look for interest, you got two teams that are grossly underachieving. This White Sox team off to a horrible start in April into May, and this Cubs team has fallen off the tracks 15 and 16. I said, I want something interesting, damn it.
I know.
Give me something.
Yeah, I mean, the people just, it's such a long season. The Cubs went 5-1 out west, which is tough to do, although three were against Oakland. And they followed up with one. They followed up with 1-6 out east. But I don't think, I'm not, you know, baseball's a roller coaster. Just because you lost 3 or 4 to the Nats and the Marlins, whatever, doesn't mean your season's lost. They're going to come back home and probably win the series against the Marlins. You're supposed to win more at home than on the road. So,
maybe.
It's a roller coaster. You can't ride it every day, up and down, up and down. It's amazing. Twitter in the baseball world is insane. Because over 162, you're going to look awful, and other times you're going to look great. And if you go on Twitter, it's fire everyone the days you look awful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, oh, we're going to the World Series on the days you look good. And that's why, usually, I look to Vegas. Because yes. They take emotion out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they give a win total. And they're usually pretty right. Once in a while, teams blow by them. Whatever the Rays win total it was, they're probably going to blow by them. But I don't think the Sox or Cubs are going to blow by them. And until further notice, the White Sox might get way under their win total. But usually Vegas is pretty good about this stuff.
All I know is that you rather have fans that are passionate than dispassionate. You want them to be into it. I mean, listen, this is how it happens in a lot of baseball markets, right? You go through a series like, boy, we're just not playing well. This stinks, right? I want to see change. And you get that because it's a long investment. It's a long season, Jess. So keep in mind that the average fan does not have the patience that you and I have. We've seen the good and bad. But some just like, you know what? I need it yesterday.
Yeah.
And you get that, right?
Well, it's funny. I spent the day on Twitter yesterday. I was watching both games on my couch. I didn't have to be at Sox Park. And I don't really spend the day on Twitter usually. It's just a, you know, you want to take a shower after being on Twitter, right?
Sure.
So I spent the day on Twitter and I was answering people. And it's, you can have two thoughts about the Cubs, that they're decent, but they're probably not going very far, meaning far into October or even to October. You can have both thoughts. And it's just tough for, I think, fans to have two thoughts about their own team, right? I feel like you're either all in one direction or all in the other direction, whereas it's okay to have a couple thoughts that seem competing in some ways, but they're really not. Cubs are good. I guarantee, I was like, this is what the Cubs are. I said that on Twitter. But then I also said, but folks, they're still going to go on a run or two.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you they're going to go on a run maybe as soon as this home series against the Marlins and then the Cardinals, who stink to high heaven.
Yeah, they do.
They're going to go another run. And then people are going to declare them back in the playoffs. And you know what? They're going to get beat again, because that's what 500-ish teams do. They go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah.
And then the surprise comes in a negative way with the White Sox, what happened to them, or maybe in a positive way with the Cubs coming up. Maybe they do go on a longer extended run. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. But this is baseball. It's a roller coaster, especially for teams that are a little bit in the middle like the Cubs and Sox.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, so that's what mediocre teams do. What do 10 and 22 teams do?
Well, I think the Sox have played their worst baseball.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing.
It's going to get better. It already has.
But just when you are this bad, this behind the track, right? Mm-hmm. The last thing a fan wants is unpredictability, right? They want to be able to say, hey, you know, this team can be able to compete. I don't know what's going to happen this series against the Reds. I don't know.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
With this ball club? I have no idea.
I think the one thing I know is they've played their worst baseball. With T.A. back, with Liam back in the near future, Crochet back, there's at least better days ahead until the next guy gets hurt, of course. Berger's out now. In general, they're going to play better. But that's not much of a consolation for you, because playing better means maybe getting back to 500. Who wants 500 again?
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. When Jesse and I return, we'll talk a little bit about how you look at sports in 2023, players and teams. We'll explain that coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Checkmate 1-6, suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with Jesse Rogers, the fastest man in Northbrook. I'm Jonathan Hood. Cap is off today. Open phone lines for you, 312. 312- 332-ESPN is our phone number. Still to come, Courtney Cronin on the Bears in the NFL. But first, Shot or No Shot is brought to you by...
Am I supposed to jump in?
Somebody.
Shay.
I can't read it.
Shay, go ahead.
Brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse and the Club Hawthorne Mobile Wagering app. You can bet the Kentucky Derby if you want to get a little Kentucky Oaks action today. The Kentucky Derby tomorrow. Both of those things available at Hawthorne Racecourse or the Club Hawthorne Mobile Wagering app.
Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Good morning, boys. How are we? Jesse, great to see you.
Great to see both of you, as always, doing good. Excited for Mervis Day. How about you, Shay?
I can't wait. I'll be at the game today. I'm excited. I've got some friends in town, so they wanted to check out Wrigley. We're going to go, and it just so happens it's both Justin Steele Day and Mervis Day. Pretty good.
I would assume he's going to start, Jay Hood. You got to bring Steve? Up a kid. You got to, no. The other guy.
Mervis?
You got to start the next savior.
And according to your depth chart you put here on ESPN.com, he's already number one, already starting. It's right there. You pushed the veterans to the side. I get it.
That's how excited they are in Bristol. They've made him their number one first baseman.
Unbelievable. I mean, does this kid have like a grace period, a chance? Third of the depth chart, number one.
This is the Cubs. He's the next savior.
You got him in the, you got the lineup ready?
I don't have the lineup, but I will tell you he's in it.
Sixth?
I don't know that he's in it. Yeah, no higher than sixth.
That's about right.
Yeah.
That's about right. Warm day, probably a home run for him.
You would hope so. he'll get a curtain call if he hits a home run.
Oh my God!
You know how Cub fans are.
He just got here.
He's the next Rizzo.
Oh my God! Listen to that.
He kind of looks like Rizzo though.
Shot or no shot? Here's Shay Norling. Shay.
All right, let's start with the Bears, and then, Jesse, I'm going to bust your balls a little bit. Just get ready for that.
Sure.
Yesterday, Black and Abdallah had a great conversation about when it will be appropriate to grade this Bears draft.
Yeah.
It got me thinking a little bit last night about my own expectations for what makes a draft worth the illustrious A grade. So I'm going to ask you both, shot or no shot? For a draft to get an A, you need a first-round pick to get a second contract.
Not solely. So the answer is no shot. It's got to be more than that for me. Yes, you want the first pick to be, you know, a cornerstone for your franchise for the next 10 years. But it's more than that. It's more than that.
I'm going to say no shot as well. There's different ways to get to an A. It could be the first round pick is an all pro for 10 years, or it could be you find five starters on a Super Bowl team. And in a few years, you rate it as an A because of that. You don't rate it right away, but so I think there's different ways to get there. It doesn't have to be just one guy getting a second contract.
So the way I grade it is this: Darnell Wright, the offensive tackle from Tennessee, and this guy should be a guy that could be an anchor on that offensive line. Watching him in the SEC, Jess, he should be really good. But from there, Dexter, the defensive tackle from Florida, has to be something because the defense for the Bears is really anemic, especially on that line. Mm-hmm. 20 sacks last year.
20?
Terrible. You got to be better than that, right? So from there, if it's not the corner Stevenson from Miami, it should be Pickens, the defensive tackle from South Carolina. If you're going to get something from the running back, Rashawn Johnson, that's another thing. So to me, you got to hit on at least three or four of your picks out of all the guys that they've been able to take for them to get an A for me.
Let me ask it an opposite way, Shay. Can you get an A if your first round pick turns into a bust?
No.
I don't think so.
No, you can't.
Now, if your second round pick is as good as what your first round pick was supposed to be, there's always a chance, but I think the answer is probably no.
That's so rare that you're going to draft a bust and have like a third round perennial all pro. That's where I think in most situations, if you have a first round pick that's not getting a second contract, you probably did a bad job in the first round of the draft. And it's hard to give an A when you do a bad job. Something like 30% of starters in the NFL are first-round picks. You have to hit.
Shay, three of those picks have to be really stellar for me to give this Bears draft an A. At least three.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, that's fair.
Fair, Shay?
Yeah, I think you want to. Like, if you take 10 players, you hope three of them are good.
And I think, and I'll just check them off. I'm hoping it's Wright, Dexter, and Pickens. And if you get anything from the running backs, but again, I don't expect a lot from Roschon Johnson. I don't. But say, for instance, Stevenson the corner is something. Oh, wait, man. And if not that, then what if Sewell is something? What if Noah Sewell is something at linebacker? Okay, now you got something
there. Well, yeah, if you get your top picks to hit and then you get a couple diamonds in the rough, that's how you get an A. That's how you get an A.
Shay Norland.
We'll talk to Courtney Cronin in about a half hour, but she has a piece up this morning about the Bears' options at defensive end. She did bring up the possibility that the Bears will go under the radar with short-term options the way they did last year on the offensive line with Riley Reiff and Michael Schofield. Shot or no shot, the Bears need to bring in a potential long-term option at edge rusher this offseason.
That's a shot. That's a shot. Again, I want what's best for this defense. Jesse, I have never seen a defense this bad with the Bears. Never.
No, I think they've set themselves up to at least be in a lot of games because of their offense, but which is fine. This is 2023, 2024. You should be, if you're going to lose 35-32. I don't have a problem with that for 1 year because you know in the next 12 months he's going to fix the defense or at least attempt to.
So I got no problem with that.
So I'm going to say, yeah, no shot. You don't have to bring one in. That's a long-term fix.
I mean...
But if you do, I'm fine with it, too.
Well, what I'm saying is you got to start somewhere. And I think that the mixture of kids and veterans on this team should help you get to where you got to be. I don't have no problem with it. And again, Cap would say, well, how much does it cost? How many years or whatever? All I'm saying is that if you feel like you're on the way, and this upcoming season, I don't think this is a winning season for the Bears. I don't. It feels like seven wins. Feel like six or seven. So that means out of the playoffs. So in 25, 26 moving forward, you should be a playoff team and be able to know what you have with your young players and your veterans on the team. Yeah. The mixture is going to help.
If they were a little bit better defensively, I might say they could make the playoffs. Like, let's not discount in the NFL, especially, a chance to surprise. Like, it's not always step by step by step. Sometimes there's a huge leap. And if the defense is a little bit better, I think they could make the huge leap. I don't think they can without it, and so I do think that's what he'll address next.
Yeah, that's like last year, there was never a chance that they were going to make that jump. That this year, there's at least a chance that could happen. So I don't want to see the defensive ends be put together with popsicle sticks and Elmer's glue like the offensive line was a year ago. Go take a swing on someone like Yannick Ngakoue, who might potentially be a longer-term option. I don't want to see this like Riley Reiff at defensive end type deal.
A veteran's going to teach the young guys how to win.
I don't want to see it, but it might just happen, and then the next time around he does everything he can to fix it.
Shane Orley.
Let's hear from Keyshawn Johnson. This morning he offered an opinion on the NFC North on KJM.
I think when you look at the situation in Justin Fields, he's only going to get better. My good friend Ryan Poles is doing an amazing job in the draft and the offseason and making sure things are being done correctly for Chicago to build in the future. I just think that this is a three-headed division with Minnesota, Green Bay, and potentially Detroit.
Shot or no shot, Keyshawn's right about the North.
I'm going to say no shot. How is Green Bay anywhere close to how is Green Bay that far ahead of the Bears when they're starting a rookie quarterback? How is that possible? And you know what I mean by rookie. He hasn't played. I don't see how that's a shot. You can't include – if you include Green Bay in the mix with Minnesota and Detroit, then you have to include the Bears. Or don't include either one of them. That's my point.
The Bears are a rebuild, though, and trying to make their – and the arrow pointing up.
I'm sorry. Until further notice, when you're starting basically a rookie quarterback, they're a rebuild.
Are you saying that Fields is better than Jordan Love?
Yes.
Much better?
He's much more experienced. Known quantity.
Just asking. Hold on.
Yes.
Just asking.
More experienced. And I'm going to assume better. I haven't seen enough of Love to say for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say yes. I assume he's better, but he's definitely more experienced.
So now, Shay, we move away from the quarterback and just look at the rosters. And when I look at the Packers, there isn't a lot that, as far as especially skill position, but could you make the case that because they've been together more that they might have a leg up on the Bears, even without Rodgers?
No, I'm not going to say that. Because once you start over with the quarterback, you no longer have that togetherness. It's like starting over.
So I'd agree that Minnesota and Detroit will make the playoffs out of the NFC North.
Take that. I love the Lions.
That's going to be the case. That is for sure. But now we wonder, what do the Packers look like? Do they go take a major step backwards with Jordan Love? Again, it's the great unknown because I don't know. I have no idea how he's going to work in that offense.
I mean, maybe I'm in the minority. Out of you three, you tell me, because football is not my thing compared to baseball. I think the Packers were almost all about Aaron Rodgers. They were okay around him, but he made those guys better.
Well, the thing about Aaron Rodgers is like everything was about him.
Yeah. I mean, he was a prima donna. Trust me on that.
Especially the last 3 or 4 years. Yeah. It wasn't about the Packers. Anytime you talk about the Packers, you talk about what Aaron wants.
And look what the season they had with him last year. It wasn't great. Now what are they going to do without him? Any personnel problems they have will be exposed. Because a great quarterback can cover up a lot of areas.
So you have the Bears as the third best team in the NFC North.
I have them at least equal to the Packers. So if you include the Packers in being in the hunt, then the Bears should be in the hunt. If you don't include the Packers, you don't have to include the Bears.
And if you look at the division odds, you've got the Lions plus 110, the Vikings plus 350, the Bears plus 350, and the Packers plus 500. So right
there, you go.
The betting markets are telling you the Vikings and the Bears are the same.
Keyshawn did not look at the betting market when he made that statement.
Well, I will tell you, the thing that shocked me the most about his statement wasn't even that the Bears weren't in the three-horse race. I thought it's Minnesota, Green Bay, and potentially Detroit. Huh? Detroit's
is that how he said it?
Team in this division. Yeah. There's no debate about it.
Right, for sure.
Why do you say potential? Is he a golf hater?
What it is you look at the logo on the helmet,
exactly.
And I think we're all guilty of it. You see the Lions logo, and you just assume they're going to find the way to mess it up, and maybe they will because that's kind of their destiny. But when you're talking about on paper, there's no way this division is a potentially Detroit. They're a prohibitive favorite to win it.
Be more potentially Packers than anything else for me. Potentially Packers. Potentially Bears.
Right. That's the word you should use for those
Bears,
two teams.
Bears. Because I think it's pretty clear that Detroit, it would not surprise me if they won the division. Just based on all the work they put in.
Definitely.
I'm no Dan Campbell fan, but I just understand that from a roster standpoint, they put together something that's pretty special.
And eventually you have to ignore the logo. The Cubs even won the World Series eventually.
Yeah.
So maybe it's taken Detroit 20 years, but they finally have found respectability.
Shane Orlick.
All right, Jesse, I'm going to bust your balls.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you've been watching on Twitch this morning, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
I know where this is going.
Brought to you this week by Woodford Reserve. You've probably noticed Jesse's been wearing his sunglasses inside today. He's all show the entire first hour and now into the 8 o'clock, been doing the show with his sunglasses on. Shot or no shot, sunglasses indoors is a douche move.
Oh, there's a shot. There's a shot. I've quoted this before, but I once walked into Joe Maddon's office wearing sunglasses, and he said, without missing a beat, Jesse, only two people wear sunglasses inside, and I'll clean it up a little bit. Blind people and jerks, and you're not blind. And he used a different word, started with an A.
So I want to make sure it's very clear. I've known Jesse since 1992. I don't even know what Jesse's eyes look like. I've only seen him in sunglasses. I've produced Jesse's shows. I've worked for Jesse. I've only seen Jesse in sunglasses.
I don't like people to see into my soul. So it's definitely something I need therapy for. I got to wear the sunglasses inside. It's mostly because I'm just tired. Any light at all bothers me.
That's weird, though, because you'll also do that at night.
Well, it's true. So that's not much of an explanation.
No, it's not. So,
but use that one. Only blind people and A-hole. Can I say that?
A-holes, yeah.
A-holes. And you're not blind, Jesse.
Listen. It doesn't bother me because I've only seen Jesse in sunglasses.
Exactly. It's normal for you.
Yeah. think about this, Shay. We've produced shows together. I've worked for Jesse. Like all this, he's always been sunglasses.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
And you know, at dinners, at daytime, midday.
I don't know if I've worn it at dinner.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
Can you imagine, like, hitting on a girl or a woman at a bar and you're wearing sunglasses? I mean, that's got to be run for the hills signaling right there.
That's the way. I mean, Jesse's been that way, so it didn't bother me.
It's so funny.
He's got a little stern in him in that regard. That's
I guess
why.
So.
I mean, there's a lot of stern in him, but that's fine. It didn't bother me. I don't know what his eyes look like. Around the NFL is right around the corner, and don't forget, we'll also hear from Courtney Cronin at 8:35. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League right here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can watch us on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/ESPN 1000 Chicago. Twitch this week is brought to you by Woodward Woodford Reserve, the presenting sponsor of the Kentucky Derby with more than 200 flavor notes in every sip. Woodford Reserve as a spectacle for the senses. Please drink responsibly. There you go. There's that Woodford Reserve. Like, would you like to hold the bottle?
I'd like to open the bottle.
Well, go ahead. Would you like to? Would you like to just?
Cap will kill you.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to take it home with me.
Oh, Cap will end your life.
That's mine.
He's not here.
Yeah, what's he going to do about it, right? So there you go.
That's true. Like, extended shot or no shot here. That bottle will still be there when Cap gets back from Europe.
That's a shot.
No shot.
No chance.
No shot.
No, I'm going to keep sipping out of it. Then he can have it after that. You can have my backwash.
All he wants is the label anyway.
I haven't heard you do a Carmen imitation. Do a Whiskey Wednesday. Do you have a Carmen in you? Whiskey Wednesday,
sure.
Carmen?
Sure, absolutely.
I'll hear it.
Woodford Reserve. You know, I think it's good. I heard it was good. I don't know. I mean, it'd be good. It might be good. It might not be so good. It might have 200 notes. It might have 100 notes. I'm not really sure. But yeah, I'm hearing good things about the. It's pretty good. I don't know.
Yurko, say something.
Here's Shay Dorling. Shay?
All right, boys, let's go around the National Football League.
Let's go Bill, around the NFL, go around the
according
XFL.
To according to the Washington Post, Bill Belichick took less value on his first round trade with the Steelers intentionally just to F the Jets.
Oh.
He knew that the Jets wanted Broderick Jones, so he took a lesser value trade with the Steelers so that the kid the Jets wanted would be off the board.
You know what? He should let that go, this whole thing with the Jets. And, you know, it's so funny because you have to really know the history of the man to know how personal he takes things and does it just for a laugh internally. You'll never see him outwardly talking about it, but internally, he's chuckling.
The man is comfortable in his own skin and position to admit that, right?
Yes.
Or leak that or whatever. Because you're not supposed to be taking lesser than trades, no matter who it's for or with or whatever.
Why is he like this, Shay? Why is he like this?
Because he can be. That's my point.
I listened to a little Boston radio the other day, and they were talking about it's time for Belichick to step aside.
Ooh.
And the narrative and the drumbeat of this Patriots season is going to be they're going to start 2-6, and everybody's going to ask the question, is this guy really going to get fired? And I do see this season going that way for the Patriots.
There's
I think this is it for
no
him.
No chance he gets fired.
Maybe not fired, but it's going to be the mutual parting of ways.
It might be a bad mutual parting, like an almost fire, but I don't think it's going to be an out-and-out fire. You know what I mean?
This all stems from if the owner and the head coach can't get along.
Which, with Belichick, is always a possibility, right?
After all these years.
I mean, I'm sure Kraft and Belichick have butted heads a lot, but there's that mutual respect thing.
Watch this.
He's just not going to get fired, like, mid-season.
Abdallah, where are you going? You see him across the street there.
I see him.
By Chick-fil-A.
He's going to get
his head.
A morning breakfast sandwich.
He's listening to us, or he is.
Or he's not.
But yeah, he might have some music on.
Yeah.
There he is across the street. All right, Shay.
Wonderful. Let's hear from Chris Ballard on the secrecy that the Colts had about their draft strategy.
So look, we don't talk about these quarterbacks outside of spring. I don't want any discussion about these quarterbacks. Not with your buddies, not with your friends. I don't. Not with your, like my wife, Kim.
From a documentary released by the Colts, that's Chris Ballard saying his wife didn't know anything about who they were taking.
I like it.
Nor should she.
I like it. Right? One less person that'll leak something. You want to keep it to yourself? This is the way you do it. You shut it down.
Hold on a second. Would you tell your spouse what you're doing in the draft? I wouldn't.
I probably would not. I say probably.
First of all, you leave it at the doorstep. That's number one. Don't bring it to the house.
Right.
Once you open that door, honey, how was your day? It's like, you know how my day was. How was your day?
Not only that, I mean, look, our wives would not care at all.
That is true.
So why would you give them information they don't even care about, which could end up being leaked? Because they wouldn't even know how not to leak it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because they're just not in that world.
That is true. I don't think that...
I'm talking about my own wife.
That's on mine as well? Yeah, okay. No, Peacock would not care who I'm drafting.
Exactly.
She wanted to know, hey, did the check clear?
Exactly. Right.
That's all she wants to know.
Exactly. Did you do the dishes?
Yeah.
Okay. Draft whoever you want.
But whatever your job is, looks like you're doing well because I see the direct deposit come in, so it looks like you're doing fine. Right. So whatever you're doing, I guess it's okay. But as far as getting in the weeds of what I do, absolutely not.
No. So, but maybe... His wife would be interested. Either way, it's just like telling anybody. A friend is no different. It's a potential leak. So I get it.
And actually, Shay, when you think about it, when it comes to Chris Ballard, he won't tell his wife. Hopefully he won't tell the owner because Jim Irsay will just spout it out. He'll just open it up and just tell everybody.
Right at the press conference. We're taking Anthony Richardson at number four. I mean, on a bender, right?
Well, I think that's what was the case.
After Mario Karting around town.
All right. What else do we have?
We've got Peter Skoronski talked about his meeting. He talked to Dan Pompey of The Athletic. Mm-hmm. Talked about his meeting with the Falcons. He said, Arthur Smith was on me the second I got in there. I was giving them generic answers to their questions, and he said, quote, you're really boring me right now. Your answers are so boring. The whole meeting, he kept looking at his computer. I was kind of laughing to myself, said, sorry, I don't know what you want me to do. I'm answering you honestly.
Mm. Whew. Not a good look.
For who?
Yeah, for who? That's my question.
For who, Jess? Is that a good look?
Yeah, it's a good question.
I mean, think of it like this. Okay, so it's a tough situation. You're a young person, right? I know that we're still making mistakes in our 50s.
Yeah.
But think about Skoronski at that age. Do you answer the question based on what the person wants to hear or what's the truth? If there's things, I hope the truth. Well, I mean, you want to get, it's a job interview.
Yeah.
And so you want to put your best foot forward.
True.
And some would say, I better answer the question based on whether or not he or she likes it. Or you tell the truth and say, I don't know. Could you imagine be like going in an interview like, it's a good question, I'm not really sure. Does the person asking the question respect the honesty? Or they be like, this guy is a dummy?
Probably the second thing. As much as you'd like to be honest, probably the second thing.
See, that's always the tough thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look, we're going for a job. You want to be able to answer the questions as entertaining or as introspective as possible? Or do you want to answer just based on getting a vibe of the person on the other side of the desk?
Right.
If
that honesty can lead to something positive that comes out of it, I guess it's maybe better to be honest, but you don't know that at the time. Meaning if they go back to their office, say, okay, that guy was honest with you. He told us what he knows and what he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good start for him. But if you're just saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, that's not going to look good.
Like when I interviewed with you, I lied. But I got the job anyway.
Got the job.
Because I'm Jazz Hands Entertaining.
I'm an easy mark.
Yeah, Jazz Hand Jones. That's me. Here's Shay Norley.
Deebo Samuel, 49ers wide receiver, talked to Complex.com, said some interesting things about the Super Bowl. Oh. He said the Eagles are his most hated team, and he's sick of hearing people say the Eagles were better than the 49ers last year or will be better than them this year. He said all the trash talk coming from the Eagles fan base and the players, you just get tired of that. He said no question the 49ers were the better team and added, quote, we lost because we played with 10 people.
Oh, it's a shot at the quarterback.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Does he not know what Philadelphia is all about? Of course they're going to be jerks online and everywhere else, right? It's Philadelphia.
That's a pretty stiff quote right there. Doctor, you just went after... Okay, well...
Am I wrong?
No, I mean...
You remember Brock Purdy went back in that game and didn't attempt more... I think he attempted like one 4-yard pass.
I should live with what Deebo said about playing with 10 players. He's right.
God,
that doesn't mean they would have won.
I mean, Brock Purdy, he's out there injured. He did the best job he could. Who's the backup out there?
I can't remember for the life of me. Yeah, it was
Johnson.
Yes, Josh Johnson.
Yeah,
but it was that's what he's. I don't think he's taking a shot at Purdy. I think he's saying if Purdy never gets hurt, we win that game.
Yeah, that's what he's saying for sure. But I mean, to not understand that Philly's going to be jerks about things, that's what Philly's all about. Well,
that's exactly right. That's exactly right. You talk about a window being open too. By the way. Eagles right back in there again.
Well, Eagles were good to start the season. They were good to finish it, and they're going to be good next year.
All right, Shay, can you squeeze in one more before Courtney?
Yeah, let's take a listen to Lamar Jackson, who's back in Baltimore and excited about it.
I'm very eager. I'm very eager, Cliff, to be honest with you. I think I told someone, like, man, I want to throw for, like, 6,000 yards with the weapons we have. Like, you know, and I'm not an individual award type of guy or stat watcher, you know. I just want to do that, you know, because no one ever done it, and I feel like we have the weapons to do it. You know, we got explosive guys. And like Coach said, Nelson, you know, the new addition, Zay, OBJ, and we got Bateman going to be 100% healthy. Dude's going to be healthy, you know. So it's going to... Can't forget about Mark. Can't forget about my boy Mark. And, you know, likely, so it's just can't wait to get rolling.
Jay Moore, I don't know if you... Did you see the picture of Lamar Jackson or watch the press conference?
Oh, yeah, I checked it out.
He let his hair out. Did you see that? The braids are out.
Yeah, well, after all that bread, you can let your hair down.
Yeah, pretty much. He should just let it. I mean, it is Jesse. I mean,
oh yeah.
I mean, you just let it out. So you just know he's comfortable. Yeah.
I'm jealous.
He's got young man with a full head of hair. You know, I just keep it like that, though. But I guess, is that cumbersome for the helmet? Is that the reason why he's got to go back to twisting it up, Jay? I mean, because that's what it looks like to me. Looks good.
That's just the money look.
That's good. He looks happy.
Happy.
Yeah, man.
Didn't Kaepernick have an all-out afro under his helmet? Yeah, you can put anything under there.
Dude, I don't know how he did that. I don't know. I mean, he had a huge afro, Kaepernick. I remember that.
Yep.
Took the helmet off and it just flopped out of there.
Are you like me? Is your wish that Justin Fields becomes peak Lamar Jackson when he was at his best a few years ago? The run game and the pass game. That's what I mean. If he does, we're golden.
Surpassing Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. Oh, if you surpass him, then we're really golden.
Well, Lamar's never really been a high level passer.
No, but there was a moment in time. There was a moment in time where that combo worked, though. He passed just enough
to surpass what he does.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
And less running yards, please. Less rushing for Justin.
Right.
That's no doubt.
Because that's the only way you stay healthy.
Yeah. I mean, because if he's a doppelganger of Lamar Jackson, that means a possibility for another injury for Justin.
True.
And if he runs more, that means the offensive line still is bad and the weapons did not work, especially with DJ Moore. So that's the hope there. All right, Nets, I'll look around the National Football League right here on ESPN 1000. Coming up, Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears and a question mark about what the Bears could do defensively. That's coming up on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and J-Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox failed to complete the sweep yesterday as the Sox lose against the Minnesota Twins. Some thoughts from Sox starter Lucas Giolito.
Not too much different. I mean, I felt okay. I didn't feel like super explosive today, but my fastball had good life on it. Sevy did a great job, you know, kind of recognizing what the hitters were looking for. It looked like they were trying to hit my changeup, so it's kind of been a theme this year. So we threw a lot of sliders. Slider was working well, so a lot of fastball slider combo, and able to get through lineup.
Yeah, Giolito had the no decision, and the Sox lose 7-3 to take on the Cincinnati Reds. A 5 o'clock start, 5:40 first pitch right here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000. Cubs lost yesterday to the Nationals 4-3 to fall to 15-16 on the season. Matt Mervis has been called up for today's game at Wrigley at 1:20 against the Miami Marlins. Alabama has fired their head baseball coach in a gambling scandal. Also, Golden State over the Lakers, 127-100. That series is tied at 1. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Keep your beak out of this.
Courtney Cronin, National Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
I think you have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Team transcendent quarterback Russ is not this guy. You know, he's very legacy conscious. He wanted to go to Denver and build something and win a Super Bowl there.
Courtney Cronin with Kevin J. Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Courtney Cronin joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the car X-Men.
She joins us here on Cap and Jay Hood. Jesse's in for Cap. Good morning, Courtney. How are you?
I'm great. It's beautiful out this morning. How are you guys doing?
It is. Isn't it wonderful?
Finally.
Tracy.
I know, we made it.
Tracy Butler made that for you, just for you, a beautiful Friday forecast. It was just awesome.
That's why you guys have her on. She just makes it happen.
She's great, isn't she? I want to talk to you about your column that you wrote on ESPN.com. And while we have our conversation with Courtney, go to ESPN.com. The piece entitled, How Will the Bears Address Their Edge Rusher Void? Courtney, we've been talking for weeks how I was just totally disappointed in the Bears defense, even though the team was built by design to be able to get to this point. 3-win ball club, trying to build towards something. But it was the worst defense of my lifetime, where I thought at times the Bears defense made some business decisions in some games, I thought. So how can they be able to do this? What stands out about their defense as is before they can add someone else?
Well, I think they've upgraded personnel-wise, at the linebacker spot with the two additions in free agency, and then, you know, getting another corner in the mix last week was really important. I think to have somebody opposite Jalen Johnson, and we don't know. I mean, Jalen doesn't have a contract extension yet. We'll see how Ryan Poles wants to handle that, but you got to be thinking about the now and in the future, and if you can continue to plug pieces into this defense that fit all of the criteria that Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus look for, and we know that they draft on traits. Most teams will say that they want players that are big, long, and fast. I think that that's the sign of a good football player, but they really came away checking the boxes, at least on paper, of guys with all those traits. But you look at this defense where it ended the 2022 season and where it stands now, and of course the glaring void is that they didn't come away with an edge rusher during the draft. And I think there's some rationale to it. If you heard Matt Eberflus talk about why the interior pass rush is so important and denting the pocket and, you know, creating shorter edges for the guys coming off the edge to try to get around and sack the quarterback, it all feeds into the overall formula of how you create a pass rush, but it still doesn't take away the fact that there is a big need to have an edge rusher to go upgrade that spot, because you're going into the season with, as stands right now, Dominique Robinson and Travis Gibson are your only two productive pass rushers. And I say that kind of lightly because the sack totals and the quarterback hits and all of that stuff was not there, but they're the only returning two guys right now. So it's clearly a need, and it's one they have to address in the next couple months.
One area in your column you mentioned is via trade, and I'll take a healthy change of scenery, Chase Young, any day of the week. But I wasn't sure reading your column if you're saying it's going to take a first-round pick to get him. Like, what would it take to get Chase Young, and would they be interested, you think?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if he was – there was no better time to move him for Washington than last week, because you could have used some of that draft capital that you got in return for Chase Young on the roster now, and this is a team that, you know, is in the process of being sold and bought and – who knows what that's going to do to the current coaching staff and the players being put potentially on you got to win now sort of notice. So maybe they end up keeping him there, giving him a prove it year, and then he ends up making getting a big contract from Washington in the future. But I just feel like since we didn't see any movement last week, and he is a former first round pick, I know he's coming off the two seasons with injury, I think the asking price is too high, and in no way, shape, or form can the Bears, in most teams, but specifically the Bears, Ryan Poles got that extra first round pick next year for a lot, for leverage, for security. Like, and I'm not at all thinking this will happen, but if Justin Fields doesn't pan out, then you have the two first round picks, the extra pick to give you leverage to go get a quarterback next year. So in no way would I give up a first round pick to get Chase Young. I think the longer this thing goes on, and they very well, since they weren't able to move him during draft, and before the May 2 deadline, where that's where teams can decline or pick up an option. Like, teams don't have an incentive to trade for him now because you don't have the extra, you know, 2 years more or less on the rookie contract to work with, and then if you end up panning out, being able to extend him, it gets more costly. So if you let it play out to training camp, and if it's just not working for him in Washington, there's always trades, at least once or twice during training camp, where you see a player who had been sitting around either, like, didn't get the option picked up, didn't sign the franchise tag, things like that, and that's how they get moved. And actually, like, in terms of an edge rusher, I saw this happen in Minnesota in 2020 when Yannick Ngakoue got traded from Jacksonville to Minnesota right at the start of training camp. So it's possible that they go that route with a team to try to address the edge rusher position in a couple months, but I don't think that the trade, especially if there was one involving Chase Young, would happen now. It just doesn't make sense.
Real quick, you did slide in there the idea of keeping draft capital in case Fields didn't work out. I'm sure people had a heart attack reading that.
Yeah, of course, they always do. You can't reason with people when they see something and go nuts.
But what's interesting is think about, it would suck if it happened. It'd be feel like it's starting over, but maybe not. Think about this real quick. If they build this team around Fields and then he does falter, maybe you just go out and get a veteran and take a shot at a run to the Super Bowl instead of starting over with a rookie. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know that this general manager, though, with the way that his philosophy is that the draft is the the lifeline of your franchise. And I think that that would be a move, like, because we don't know what this roster is going to look like in 24. This is not, and I've said this a lot, this is not the year to contend in 2023. It's the year to get closer to contending. And if you're in a spot next year, like, even if the roster is in a point where, okay, we think that we can push for the playoffs this year, if you're the Bears, I think that that could potentially be a knee-jerk reaction where, you know, teams don't win with rookie quarterbacks early on. That's just proven that it takes time. But I think that they, with the draft capital that they have, would want to give themselves the opportunity to draft their guy, their quarterback, have him on a rookie scale, rookie wage scale, and then be able to, you know, give yourself the 5 years potentially with the option to build around that quarterback. But I mean, Jesse, I understand the rationale. I don't think this roster will be at a point good enough yet, because they're going to be at the beginning point, if all goes well, of contending next year. I don't know that they would go the veteran quarterback route, at least if you're just projecting it out right now. If that was, if everything fell apart around Justin Fields this year with his play, which, you know, certainly they put him in position to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Courtney, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show. See you next week.
Yeah, I'll be in with you on Wednesday, so I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
There you go.
Courtney Cronin is with us here on the
Car-X, I got out of it.
On the Car-X Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter,
that's
boom,
not
boom, boom, boom. Don't worry, call the Car-X man.
Jesse acting like this is prison being here. I got out of it. Come on.
I got out of double duty is the point.
Yeah, that's good.
I got to be at all those Cubs-Cardinals affairs. But I'll be here next Thursday and Friday.
No, it's absolutely, it's totally fine for me. I mean, the less of you, the better. Coming up next.
Sound like my wife.
We will. The best, one of the best coaching jobs in sports is available. It became available yesterday. We'll talk about it coming up next with Jesse Rogers, Jonathan Hood with you on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show.